This reading was produced by the Center for Clinical Interventions. You can access it from their website under Self-Help Resources. It is within the package titled Overcoming Disordered Eating, Part A. This is Module 6, titled Binge Eating, Purging, and Driven Exercise. Introduction. In this module, we will begin to tackle some of the core symptoms of your disordered eating. We will define binge eating, consider why you may be engaging in this behavior, and explore ways to combat its occurrence. We will also examine behaviors that are designed to compensate for binge eating. Firstly, we will explore purging through self-induced vomiting and the misuse of laxatives or diuretics. Secondly, we will examine driven exercise and how to recognize it in your own life. We will also provide you with information about the ineffectiveness of these compensatory behaviors. Binge eating. We briefly covered binge eating in modules 1 and 3. However, we will now revisit this behavior in more detail. Remember, there are two aspects to binge eating. First, eating a very large quantity of food in a discrete period of time, usually less than 2 hours. And second, feeling out of control. After a binge episode, people often say, "Even if I had wanted to, I couldn't have stopped eating." Additionally, binge episodes often evoke feelings of guilt and shame. They are often done in secret because people who binge are afraid of what others might think of them if they knew about the out-of-control eating and the large amounts of food consumed. Often they will eat everything in the fridge or larder when the house is empty and then go out and buy the same foods, replacing what they've consumed so nobody will know how much they've eaten. The term large is ambiguous, but you may find it helpful to judge food quantities by imagining how much food a stranger would label as large. When people with an eating disorder eat more than they feel comfortable with, they often describe that as a binge. It may be that what you are calling a binge is really eating an amount of food others would call normal, but you feel uncomfortable with it as it reflects the breaking of a dietary rule. Please take some time to consider if you binge, how often you binge, when and where you binge, your experiences with binge eating, and how binge eating makes you feel. Is what you eat really a binge, or is it that you feel out of control eating just a little more than you feel comfortable with? Write your thoughts in the space below. Please feel free to pause this recording in order to fill out the space provided on the paper copy of the CCI or on a separate piece of paper. There are two reasons why people binge eat. Firstly, some people binge because of the physiological effects of hunger. Secondly, some people binge to regulate, control, or numb unpleasant moods or feelings. In this module, we will examine the physiological effects of hunger on binge eating behavior, as you will need to overcome this first. The influence of moods on binge eating behavior will be examined in the next module. In Module 3, we discussed how dietary restraint leads to extreme hunger and preoccupation with food, which leads to periods of uncontrolled binge eating. Soon, this dietary restraint and binge eating becomes a vicious cycle. This is a crucial maintaining mechanism for eating disorders, so we will now cover this cycle in detail. The story over Leaf illustrates the establishment of the physiological hunger and binge eating cycle. As you read, consider how the feelings and events relate to your own experiences. Emma was unhappy with her weight and shape and decided to diet. Her diet had two rules: eat less food and avoid treats like chocolate or ice cream. Emma followed the diet for a while, but soon found she was always hungry. She also noticed that she thought more about food than she had before she started her diet, especially chocolate. After returning home from work the fourth afternoon, she broke her dietary rules and overate, eating a forbidden food, half a liter of ice cream. After eating, Emma felt distressed. She had broken her diet and felt ugly and fat. She decided to try again, but this time with very strict rules. She would only eat a little bit of breakfast and nothing all day until dinner time. Emma followed these strict rules for 3 days. During this time, she ate very little. That pleased her, but she was constantly feeling hungry and lacked energy and concentration. The hungrier she became, the more she obsessed about food. All day, her thoughts were preoccupied with food. She imagined elaborate ways of preparing all her favorite foods whilst eating none of them. The more she tried to avoid food, the harder it became to resist. On the third afternoon, she gave way to her hunger and ate whatever she could find in her kitchen. She ate 3 packets of biscuits, leftovers from previous night's supper, which was some shepherd's pie and half an apple pie, and all the ice cream in the freezer. Emma ate quickly, feeling an initial rush of satisfaction, but she felt no control over her behavior and ate until uncomfortably full. Then, when she had finished eating, she felt very distressed. She was ashamed of her behavior and felt guilty for breaking her rules. She vowed she would not succumb again and resumed her strict rules. Soon, Emma found herself in a seemingly unbreakable cycle of hunger and binge eating. This story is not uncommon. Emma began with a diet and failed in her expectations. Each failure made her more determined to restrict her eating. As her rules became stricter, she was no longer on a simple diet. She was following strict dietary rules, the form of rules discussed in modules 1 and 3. These rules are rigid and allow for no occasional treats. Do you follow such rules? Following strict rules and severely restricting food intake will always lead to the extreme hunger and preoccupation with food that Emma experienced. This is a natural physiological reaction. Your body tries to make you eat to receive the nourishment it needs to function. This physiological reaction makes binge episodes inevitable. The disappointment and guilt associated with binge eating encourages people, just like Emma, to vow that they will become more successful at restricting food intake. Unfortunately, often they are unsuccessful, and the strict dietary rules only support the vicious cycle of hunger and binge eating. Addressing dietary restraint. Do you recognize this cycle of hunger and binge eating in your own experiences? If so, you need to break this cycle to overcome your eating disorder. To do this, you must address your dietary restraint behaviors. We will examine dietary restraint in detail in Module 8. You may feel that dietary restraint is the solution to your fears of getting fat and your desire to lose weight. However, dietary restraint is more of a problem than a solution. Remember, as we have described previously, dietary restraint actually keeps your disordered eating going. In Module 5, we introduced regular eating practices that would give structure to your eating habits. Once you are eating regularly, you must eat enough food in each meal or snack to stop yourself feeling hungry. When your body has sufficient nourishment, your mind will constantly thinking about food and eating. You will find that binge eating is no longer necessary and you have broken the vicious cycle. Furthermore, if you leave more than 4 to 5 hours between eating during the day while you are awake, your body goes into starvation mode. It prepares for insufficient nourishment by switching on the metabolic processes that help conserve energy, slowing the metabolism. This means that when you do eat next, your body will metabolize that food in such a way as to store the energy, which lessens any weight loss effects. Eating less food and eating less often actually slows down your metabolism, which means that your body burns off food from energy more often and more slowly and will conserve energy by storing this fat. Addressing the actual binge.
Please enter your security code. Goodbye.
Even as you begin to eat regularly and reduce the amount of dietary restraint, you might find that at times you are still binge eating. This is undesirable, especially if it is a habit that you have engaged in for a long time. Do not despair. There are ways you can begin to challenge the automatic aspects of binge eating, and you will learn that you can indeed have some control over your eating behaviors. Imagine the following scenario. You have been to the shops and bought a bag full of binge foods on your way home from work. You get home at 4:30 and are expecting your partner to come home at 5:30. What you usually do at this point is to shovel the food into your mouth as quickly as possible, consuming as much as you can without really tasting it before you're interrupted. If you engage in self-induced vomiting, you may allow yourself a certain amount of time to vomit and clean up the toilet before your partner returns. Here are some useful strategies for gaining some control over the binge. Eat mindfully. If you are going to binge anyway and consume a large amount of calories, it helps to become aware of what you're eating. This also slows things down. When you binge, do you eat food straight out of the packet, shoveling as much into your mouth as you can without noticing what you're eating or how much you've consumed? Some people talk about being in a trance-like state during a binge episode. That's eating in a mindless way. What a waste! If you're going to consume that many calories, then why not enjoy them? Here are some suggestions for eating more mindfully. Number one, put all your food on a plate or into a bowl before you eat it. For example, instead of eating ice cream straight from the carton, spoon out a few scoops into a bowl. With biscuits, instead of eating them one by one from the packet, put 6 or 8 on a plate. If it's chips, instead of eating them by the handful out of the bag, empty half the packet into a bowl and then eat it. Number two, notice the binge foods. With every mouthful, take notice of what you're eating without judging. With chocolate chip cookies, you might think the crunchiness contrasts with the soft, oozing chocolate. Or you might think, these taste a bit stale and extremely sweet. When you have eaten everything on the plate or in the bowl, ask yourself, what do I want to have now or to do now? After a plate of 8 chocolate chip cookies, you might think, I enjoyed these, I'll have another plateful. Or you might think, they were very sweet and I really liked some bread and butter. Or you might just decide you've had enough. The important thing is to be conscious about what you're doing, which helps you develop more control. We will be saying more about mindfulness in the next module. Delaying the binge. Again, if you are going to binge anyway, then it is worth making a conscious effort to postpone the binge. Start off by waiting just 30 seconds. After you've put your first portion of food onto your plate or in a bowl, watch the second hand of your wristwatch or count to 30 slowly and hold off on eating even a single mouthful until 30 seconds has elapsed. Once you realize that you can do this, you may want to try postponing the binge for 1 minute, then 5 minutes, then 10 minutes, and so on. These two strategies help you gain back some control over what you've been thinking as out of control eating. Eating mindfully gives you back some of the control because every time you make a decision, such as more cookies or I'd prefer chips, you are becoming active in controlling what you eat. With time, you can make healthier choices. Likewise, being able to wait even just 1 minute before embarking on a binge means that you are less at the mercy of the binge and more active in choosing when to start. Purging. Binge eating episodes are upsetting. They can cause feelings of guilt, shame, and fear of weight gain. Some people continue to binge and live with the distressing but inevitable results of overeating. They gain weight. Other people with eating disorders use a compensatory behavior known as purging to overcome these distressing feelings. Purging behavior is intended to rid the body of recently eaten food, and people who purge experience relief because they believe they have got rid of extra calories they consumed in the binge. Purging can include self-induced vomiting and laxatives or diuretic misuse. Dehydration. All forms of purging result in dehydration. Since water is a large part of what makes up your body weight, you might have noticed that the number on the scale is slightly less after purging, but this doesn't mean that you've really lost weight or are less fat. This apparent weight loss only reflects fluid loss, and it is only temporary since your body will return to a normal state after drinking fluids. Furthermore, one effect of dehydration is that the body reacts by attempting to retain water, so you may feel bloated or have a swollen feeling afterwards. Some people get swollen ankles or wrists. This will cease once you stop purging. Depleting your body of fluids can have serious consequences, such as electrolyte imbalances. Electrolytes are vital for heart functioning. Imbalances result in dizziness and fainting, and one potential danger is total heart failure, leading to death. As long as you continue to purge, it is vital that you rehydrate your body by replenishing your fluids, drinking a few glasses of water after each episode. Water has no calories, and drinking water will not make you fat. Self-induced vomiting. Do you now or have ever made yourself sick by vomiting in order to try and get rid of calories from the food you've eaten? If so, this section contains some information that you might find interesting and useful. If you vomit frequently or even rarely to control your weight, think back to the time when you first began this behavior. It would have started as a rare occurrence, possibly after you overate. Perhaps you were introduced to this behavior by a friend, or heard about it on TV, or read about it in a magazine. You thought, I'll just do this once, and perhaps after that first time you swore to never do it again because it was gross. But then you went on another diet and ended up eating more than you thought you should. You continued and ended up binge eating and decided to vomit again. Over time, you adjusted to the unpleasant sensations of vomiting. You got used to the nasty taste and smell, cleaning up the toilet, rinsing your mouth with mouthwash. It became easier to vomit. You did your best to push back your mind any negative feelings of self-disgust and shame and convinced yourself it wasn't really too bad. You could stop at any time you really wanted. As you vomited more frequently, you started thinking differently about your eating. You began thinking you could engage in binge eating episodes without harm because you knew you could vomit up the food afterwards. This encouraged you to eat even more food, taking advantage of the eventual purge. You may have thought, as some people do, this is great, I can have my cake and eat it too. When you vomited, you probably believed that you vomited up all the calories from the binge and that your body didn't absorb any of the calories from the food you had eaten. However, this is not the case. It may surprise you to know that absorption begins in the mouth and esophagus. Before food reaches your stomach, your body has already begun the absorption process. Furthermore, not all of the food in your stomach is expelled when you vomit. Even if you vomit until there seems to be nothing left in your stomach, it doesn't mean that you have gotten rid of all the calories you've consumed. Most of these calories will have already been absorbed. Even if you vomit immediately after binging, research has shown that your body absorbs at least 40% of the calories in the food that you eat, and usually much more, up to 75%. Not only is vomiting an ineffective weight control measure, it is also bad for your health. Frequent vomiting leads to serious physical side effects including dehydration and electrolyte imbalance, salivary gland enlargement, tearing and bleeding of the esophagus, disruption of the digestive system, and erosion of tooth enamel. If you are vomiting, even infrequently, it is important to see your doctor for regular checkups. Tears in the esophagus can be serious and even fatal if the vomit leaks into the lungs. If you see blood in your vomit, see your doctor immediately. Many people who vomit suffer from reflux, heartburn, bloating, which they often interpret as fat, and constipation or diarrhea. Over time, dental enamel is worn away and sometimes teeth need to be replaced. As outlined above, self-induced vomiting is an unhealthy and unhelpful behavior. If you currently engage in frequent vomiting, you need to address this issue to overcome your eating disorder. Consciously recognizing and evaluating the problem is the first step to eliminate the behavior. If you use vomiting to compensate for binge eating, you will find that this behavior will probably stop as you cease binge eating. However, there are a number of reasons why people engage in frequent vomiting other than compensatory for binge eating. We will now examine each of these reasons and identify ways to combat this behavior. Weight control. If you vomit in the absence of binge eating for the purpose of weight control, you should find it helpful to consider the ineffectiveness of vomiting as a weight control method. If you are losing weight, it is probably not because you vomit, but because you are restricting the amount that you eat. Mood regulation. You may find that you vomit to improve your mood and to counteract feelings of low self-worth. To combat this behavior, it is important to examine your thought patterns and determine what moods and events lead to the urge to vomit. You can write down your moods and feelings in your self-monitoring record. Critically consider these moods and why they encourage you to vomit. Once you are conscious of these moods, try to surf them and resist the urge. The concept of mood regulation will be examined in more detail in the next module. Avoiding sensations of fullness. You may feel distressed and uncomfortable when your stomach feels full and vomit to remove this discomfort. But you need to remember that it is normal for your stomach to feel slightly different for a short while after you've eaten, while the food travels through your stomach and into the intestines. To overcome your distress around this sensation of fullness, you will need to expose yourself repeatedly to the sensation of having food in your stomach without vomiting. This will involve surfing the urge to vomit. You may also find it useful to wear looser clothing so that you are not so conscious of the food in your stomach. Remember that feeling full is not the same as being fat, does not mean that you overate, and will go away with the time. It is important to note that after some time of regular vomiting, the stomach gets used to it, and when you cease vomiting, the stomach sometimes reacts by bloating after you've eaten. You'll need to be patient and wait for your stomach to return to healthy functioning, which may take a week or two. It's hard, but worth it. Seeking an empty stomach. You may vomit in the desire to have an empty stomach. If so, you need to remember that eating is necessary. Indeed, if no food ever reached your stomach, you wouldn't survive. You need to examine this feeling and ask yourself why you desire an empty stomach. Having food in your stomach does not mean you will get fat. We all need food to live. Simple habit. If vomiting has become an unconscious habit in your life, it is time to make some changes. Frequent vomiting is harmful. It interferes with other important activities in your life, including social eating. Furthermore, it is likely to encourage feelings of guilt and shame. By bringing this habit to your conscious awareness and thinking critically about negative impact on your life, you can begin phasing this behavior out of your life. If you engage in self-induced vomiting, please take a moment to consider this behavior. Most likely, you vomit to compensate for your binge eating episodes. However, you may identify with one of the reasons listed above, or you may have a different reason of your own. Use the information above to develop a personal plan for combating this behavior in your own life. Write your thoughts in the space below. Feel free to take this opportunity to pause the recording and complete the exercise on a CCI printed handout or on a separate piece of paper. Teeth and dental care. When you vomit, the gastric acid from your stomach enters your mouth and erodes tooth enamel, which is the hard covering that protects your teeth from damage. When tooth enamel is eroded, your teeth become damaged. Dental damage can occur after only 6 months of frequent vomiting. Oral changes can include chemical erosion of tooth enamel, thermal hypersensitivity, which involves increased sensitivity to hot and cold foods, enlargement of the salivary glands, teeth becoming brittle and translucent. As long as you continue to vomit, follow the guidelines below to minimize damage to your teeth. Do not brush your teeth immediately after vomiting. This will cause further abrasion to tooth enamel. Rinse your mouth with water or a mixture of baking soda and water after vomiting. The baking soda neutralizes the acid in your mouth. Then brush your teeth. Floss and brush teeth daily to remove plaque. Use a fluoride toothpaste to reduce decay and tooth sensitivity. If damage is considerable, teeth may need restoring with resins or crowns. It is important to seek regular dental checkups. Most people with eating disorders are afraid to tell their dentist about their vomiting because they feel ashamed and guilty. Remember that your dentist is there to help you with your teeth and not judge you. Your dentist will be able to provide you with the best advice that they have, the full picture about factors affecting your dental care. Remember that if your dental health is left unchecked, it will continue to deteriorate. Misuse of laxatives or diuretics. Do you now or have you ever taken laxatives in order to try and get rid of calories from food you've recently eaten? If so, this section contains some information that you might find interesting and useful. If you use laxatives frequently or even rarely to control your weight, think back to the time when you first began this behavior. You may have done it first after you overate and felt especially full. You thought, I'll just do this once, and perhaps after that first time you swore you'd never do it again because you didn't like to have diarrhea. But you felt empty and that was a relief until the next time you overate and decided to use the laxatives again. If you use diuretics, a similar scenario is likely. Over time, you adjusted to the unpleasant aspects of laxatives. You got used to staying home near the toilet or having diarrhea or stomach cramps. You did your best to push back your mind any negative feelings of self-disgust and shame and convinced yourself it really wasn't too bad. You could stop it at any time you wanted. As you used the laxatives more frequently, you started thinking differently about your eating. You began thinking you could engage in binge eating episodes without harm because you knew you could get rid of the food afterwards by using large amounts of laxatives. This allowed you to eat even more food, taking advantage of the eventual purge. When you used laxatives, you probably believed that you purged most of the calories from the binge and that your body didn't absorb many of the calories from the food you had eaten. However, this is not the case. As we've mentioned, calorie absorption begins in the mouth and esophagus, and most of it occurs in the stomach and then continues in the small intestines. By the time the food residue arrives in the large intestine, where the laxatives work, almost all of the nutrition from the food has already been absorbed. Just as frequent vomiting fails to compensate for binge episodes, laxatives and diuretics are not effective weight control behavior. In fact, they are relatively useless, getting rid of only about 10% of the calories consumed. Absorption of calories occurs in high digestive system, whilst laxatives and diuretics influence the lower area. You may argue that when you stand on the scale after using laxatives or diuretics, you weigh less. It is true that the number on the scale may be lower, but remember what we said in Module 3 about there being no such thing as a true weight. The lower number after laxatives or diuretics is only temporary and does not involve the loss of body fat. This temporary effect is caused by fluid loss from dehydration, but the number will go back up when you drink fluids, rehydration. Further, misusing laxatives or diuretics can have serious physical side effects. The misuse of laxatives or diuretics can disrupt normal bowel function, leading to the loss of intestinal muscle tone, bloating, gas, colicky pain, appearance of mucus and blood in the stool, and incontinence of feces. Another problem about laxative misuse is that, with regular use, the bowel gets lazy and your tolerance is increased. That is, you find that you need more of them to get the same effect. The misuse of laxatives and diuretics can also lead to serious electrolyte imbalances. If you are misusing laxatives or diuretics, it is important to see your doctor for regular checkups. As you can see, there are almost no benefits and many dangers in misusing laxatives or diuretics. As with vomiting, if you use laxatives or diuretics to compensate for binge eating, you will find this behavior will cease when you stop binge eating. However, laxatives and diuretics are sometimes misused for reasons other than compensating for binge eating, and this behavior will need to be addressed. Weight control. If you misuse laxatives or diuretics for weight control, you should find it helpful to consider how ineffective these substances are for decreasing weight and body fat. Seeking an empty stomach. Laxatives and diuretics are sometimes misused out of the desire to obtain an empty stomach. If this is so, you need to consciously and critically examine this feeling. Ask yourself why you desire an empty stomach. Having food in your digestive system does not mean you'll get fat. Self-punishment. You may be misusing laxatives as a form of self-punishment. This type of behavior is usually associated with very low self-esteem. If you do abuse laxatives as a form of self-punishment, you need to critically examine this behavior. Firstly, ask yourself why you need punishing. If you answer the question honestly, you will likely find your offense was not even under your control. Secondly, ask yourself if laxative misuse is an appropriate punishment. Remember, you cannot change the past. Simple habit. If you misuse these substances out of habit, it is some time to be conscious of this dangerous behavior. Critically examine this behavior, considering the injuries you may be causing your body, the inconvenience it causes in your life, and any discomfort or shame you may feel. Make a conscious decision to cease this behavior and phase the misuse of laxatives or diuretics out of your life. If you misuse laxatives or diuretics, please take a moment to consider this behavior. Most likely, you use laxatives or diuretics to compensate for binge eating episodes. However, you may identify with one of the reasons listed above, or you may have a different reason of your own. Use the information above to develop a personal plan for combating this behavior in your own life. Write your thoughts in the space below. Please utilize this time to pause the recording and fill in the space provided on the printed handout of the CCI or on a separate piece of paper. Driven exercise. Do you now or have you ever exercised in a driven manner in order to try to burn calories off from food you've recently eaten? Do you exercise in a driven manner to take the edge off unpleasant emotions? If so, this section contains some information that you might find interesting and useful. Moderate exercise is a healthy behavior. We're all encouraged nowadays to exercise in order to get healthy or maintain a healthy body. And some people report that they feel good after exercising. This is a result of the release of endorphins. Like dieting, exercise is a common activity, often done as part of a weight control regimen. But like dieting, exercise can get out of hand and out of control. Because exercise is good for your health, you may feel that it's impossible to exercise too much. However, this is not true. Exercise becomes unhealthy when it is excessive and obsessive. Overexercising can lead to amenorrhea, which is menstrual dysfunction, osteoporosis, which is low bone density, depression, heart problems, dehydration, and damage to joints and tendons. Some people with eating disorders use excessive exercise as a method of extreme weight control. Just like purging, excessive exercise can also be used to compensate for binge eating episodes. This type of exercise is known as driven exercise or excessive exercise. Below is a list of symptoms common to people who exercise excessively. 1. Feeling compelled to exercise rather than exercising for enjoyment or social activities. 2. Feeling upset, distressed, anxious, guilty, or angry if unable to exercise. 3. Exercising at the expense of other areas of your life, such as social and leisure activities. 4. Exercising despite the presence of injuries, illness, or bad weather. 5. Exercising intensely for more than 1 hour a day. 6. Exercising intensely on more than one occasion per day. And 7. Basing self-worth and self-esteem on exercise achievements. If you use exercise frequently in a driven manner to control your weight, think back to the time when you first began the behavior. You may have first started it after you'd put on some weight and you planned to burn off the calories. Perhaps you did lose a little weight, but were also restricting your food intake at the time. Over time, you started working harder and spending longer at your exercise, believing that you were raising your metabolism and burning off the calories. You did your best to push back your mind any negative feelings, such as feeling compelled and out of control, and convinced it wasn't really too bad. You could stop at any time you wanted, and anyway, it made you feel good. As you exercised more frequently, and in a driven manner, you started thinking differently about your eating. You began thinking you could engage in binge episodes without harm because you knew you could burn off the calories afterwards by exercising intensively for hours. This allowed you to eat even more food, taking the planned exercise into consideration. When you exercise in a driven manner, you probably believe that you burned off most of the calories from the binge. However, this is not the case. Combined with restricted food intake, excessive exercise can actually lower your metabolism. This helps your body retain the energy from the food consumed and actually acts to prevent further weight loss. You probably also believe that intense exercise burned off fat, but in fact, over-exercising actually breaks down muscle fiber. Take a moment to consider if you engage in driven exercise. If this is so, think about the amount of time that you spend exercising each day or week. Also consider why you feel the need to exercise so much. Do you exercise to control your weight and shape? Do you use exercise to compensate for binge eating episodes? Do you exercise to help you deal with negative emotions? Do you get distressed if you are prevented from exercising? Has exercising excessively impacted other areas of your life? Please write your thoughts in the space below. Take this opportunity to put the recording on pause and answer the question in the space provided on the CCI paper handout or on a separate piece of paper. Recognizing driven exercise is the first step to overcoming it. Driven exercise must cease if you are to overcome your eating disorder and protect your health. How much exercise is appropriate? You should not be engaging in any exercise other than gentle walking if you are severely restricting, seriously underweight or with recent rapid weight loss, or if you are regularly purging. It is important to get a medical checkup from your general practitioner and to tell him or her about your disturbed eating habits and/or weight control behaviors. If you have disordered eating, you may be wondering how much exercise is appropriate for your own personal circumstances. Below are some guidelines that you can follow to determine the right amount of exercise for you. So an individual who is severely underweight, which is a body mass index of less than 17.5, if you are severely underweight, you should not exercise at all, as it could be dangerous. Indeed, if you are severely underweight, you will need to limit physical movements to a minimum. Underweight individuals, which is a body mass index of less than 19. If you are underweight, you should not engage in any formal exercise. Activities in a normal day would amount to enough physical movement to keep your body healthy while you recover. Not underweight and purging. If you are purging, even at a normal weight, you should not engage in any formal exercise. Not underweight and not purging. Low to moderate intensity exercise is healthy for people who are not underweight. It is recommended that adults engage in 30 minutes of low to moderate intensity exercise each day. If you enjoy more active exercise, it is recommended that you engage in 1 hour of more vigorous exercise 3 to 4 days a week. When you do exercise, make it sociable and fun. Overweight, which is a body mass index of over 30. Low intensity exercise may be good as part of a weight management program, but you should see your general practitioner for a full checkup and make sure that exercise is appropriate for you. If you are still unsure, ask your doctor and discuss the level of exercise that's right for your body. Feel free to complete the module summary and reflect on the things learned in this CCI. Otherwise, this concludes our recording.